So the title of my message today is First Love. First Love. Okay? It's easy. It's an easy title. I just want to share some background with you as to why I'm moving from wow to this topic. So last Sunday, as I was just waiting on the Lord, using the four keys to hearing God's voice, which is, I don't know if your life group has gone through it with you, but it's stillness. I was using vision. I was asking for spontaneous thoughts and then journaling. So as I was doing that last Sunday, I heard God say this audible, in an audible voice, return to your first love. That was last Sunday. So this is very, very recent. Okay. Throughout the week, God just confirmed that to me even more. He doesn't just speak to you once about a topic. He speaks to you multiple times, especially if he knows that it needs to be shared. So on Friday, as I was sitting down, waiting for my baby doctor's appointment, Pastor Machen sent me a text and said, Amy, can you share this week? And immediately the words came, first love. As I opened up my phone, and then I was like, what do I share? First love. I was like, well, I think I know what my message title is. And then yesterday in prayer meeting, we watched a video from David Wilkerson, and he was talking about why is it so hard for Christians to pray? And the first point was it was about lukewarmness, or it was about the church of Ephesus. So what was that all about? It's all about first love. So who thinks here, if God says something to you three times, you should probably act on that? Yeah, I think so. If one time is not enough, two times definitely enough. Three times is basically a hammer on your head saying, yeah, I think that's for you. So that's why my title for my message today is First Love. I just want to ask a question. For those that are married here, do you remember your first love? Do you remember your first love? I'll share with you, I remember that first time that Dino gave me that phone call, and he said, hello, hi Amy, how was volleyball? Very vivid, he said. And I was like, why are you talking like that? Why are you stuttering? I've never heard you to be a stutterer. And then we came to our first date, okay? And we went to go and watch War Room. And I remember, we've been friends for at least 10 years at that time. We're good with each other. Everything is fine. When he came to my door and picked me up, you know what happened? Butterflies. Suddenly, I was this, how are you? That first love, that puppy love that just goes, you know? And as I was just thinking about my message, and how to do it. The verse, Revelations, everyone knows this. Revelations 2, 1 to 7 talks about the church at Ephesus, okay? And we're going to go through it. Daniel, if you can put it up. I'm actually going to read this passage from the One New Man Bible, which is the Hebrew Bible that Pastor Regan has been talking about for like the past 2 weeks, because there is something in there that is a little bit different to what my New King James Bible says. So if you can put that up, Daniel. It says, to the messenger of the congregation in Ephesus, you must now write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden menorahs, says these things. I know your works and toil and your patience, and that you are not able to bear evil. And you tested those who say they're apostles and they are not, and you found them false. And you have patience and you endured because of my name and have not wearied. Nevertheless, I have against you that you left your first love. Therefore, you must remember from where you have fallen, and you must now repent, and you must do the works you did at first. And if not, I am coming to you, and I shall remove your menorah from its place, if you would not repent. And you have done this, that you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. The one who has ears must now listen to what the Spirit is saying to the congregations. To the one who conquers, I shall give him permission to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. First love. Can we skip a few, Daniel? Can we go to a question? Slide. I'll come back. Can we go to slide 20? Okay. I have a question for each and every one of you. And I answered this myself as I was preparing. Can you remember the time, the specific details when you were truly born again? When you had your first love experience with God? I noticed some heads that are shaking. Can I tell you mine? So this may actually shock a lot of you. I was born, raised in a Christian family, but I would not say that I had my true born again experience during that time. So I would say, even though, guest speakers came, pastors prayed for me, I was a big crybaby, always cried all the time, because at that time I thought, oh yeah, Holy Spirit truly is convicting me, because this is the born-again Christian experience that I needed. But I was good for about 2 weeks, and then I went back to my old ways. So who knows that that is not true born-again experience? Because a born-again experience means 180 degrees change, not a two-week change. That's a very fast turnaround. I remember it very vividly. On Sunday, the 20th of July, 2014, I was getting ready for church, and I received a phone call. It shocked me to my core. My parents can probably remember this. My best friend's boyfriend, and a very good friend, actually, had been killed in a motorcycle accident the night before. What happened? My body just froze. I went down, I just slid down on the floor, and I was just sobbing. I don't know if you remember that, Dad and Mom, but I was just sobbing profoundly. I was just like, what is going on? He's so young, I don't understand. He had the world at his feet. World is his oyster. Yeah, I remember there was an oyster there. I remember it as well. During that time, as I came to church, I remember Pastor Ludwig was sharing his message. And very strange that I remember all of this, you know, because I think God really is a God of memory. If you have a true born-again experience, you will remember all of these weird, finer details. Pastor Ludwig was sharing. I don't remember your message. But I remember, for some strange reason, you talked about Wimbledon. For some strange reason. I can't remember. That is what I remember. And when you said that, I immediately got up from my seat and I ran out and I started crying again. Because this good friend that had just passed away was a very big tennis fan. And he was talking about going to go and see Wimbledon one day. So it just reminded me again. And after church service, I remember just going into my room and just truly repenting and just saying, God, I am so sorry. I've been a Christian. I've done the Christian things. But I really have not had that born again true experience with you, Jesus. And I remember just thinking to myself before this whole incident happened that I'm young, I have the world at my feet, nothing's going to happen to me. And then this just happened, and it was just immediately. And I truly believe that it was the mercy of God saying, Amy, wake up. Wake up. Because you may think you are invincible, but you are not invincible. And he was truly saying that, Amy, you think you have been a born-again believer. You think you have done everything right, but you have not. And then I remember, I believe it was the week after, pastors kept on saying, Amy, 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 come on, come to training, come to training. You know what I did? I thought this was very smart at the time. So you start work and then you go, yes, I'm going to study because that means that I will get out of training. So I got an excuse, okay? But I remember after truly saying, Lord, I am so sorry. I am a big, great sinner. I remember going up to pastors and going, pastors, they didn't ask me that week, some weird reason. I went, pastors, can I please be involved in training? So I made that conscious decision that after I had, for me, that was my true born again experience. I really wanted to go after the things of God. And I said, pastors, can I be involved in the training? Went, of course. Pastors had the biggest grin on their face. I don't know if they can replicate it now, but they had the biggest grin from ear to ear. And they were like, of course you can join for training. And I just vividly remember, and I was just so hungry for God, just had that fire. And it was during that time as well that Pastor Joseph started declaring resurrection life. And at that time, I was like, yes, I want this resurrection life because I don't want to be the same. I want to be changed. From glory to glory, he's changing me. We just sung it. And as Pastor was doing that, I suddenly became I changed from a begging Christian, raising hands like this, to a football Christian, like this, to a...
you deserve it all. God.
And that was a conscious decision. It was a conscious decision to change. So that was my first love experience. And I was just thinking to myself, wow, I really have changed from that moment. However, I have another question for you. Next one, Daniel. Is your love for Jesus the same or even hotter for him now than before? And I asked myself this question very, very recent as last Sunday, when God said to me, return to your first love. And it smacked me in the face. It honestly smacked me in the face like a golf club would smack you in the face, a golf ball would smack you in the face. As someone that kicks a soccer ball smacks you in the face, it hurts. Oh, it hurts a lot. But that was something that I needed to be confronted with, and that's a question that I needed. And I can honestly say I have left my first love. And that I was once hot for God, but now I have not. Doesn't mean that I've backslidden or anything. It's just I've lost that fire. I've lost that passion. And we use the phrase, life happens, okay? We use the phrase, life happens. So for me, I would say life happens would be my studying to become a chartered accountant. I still would go for training and everything, but like my priority was elsewhere. It wasn't on the things of God. Another one, I love my soccer. Everyone here would know, I love my soccer. And you know what I would actually do is, and I'm being completely 100% honest with you, my team, which I shall not mention, and remember the games are played over in the UK, so there is an 8-hour difference. Sometimes they would play early Sunday morning, and you would call me a dedicated soccer fan. I would watch the game. Sometimes it would start at 11 p.m. on a Saturday. Sometimes it would start at 1 a.m., and I would watch those games, and you know what would happen? I would turn up to church with the baggiest eyes that I would look like a panda. Okay? I love my soccer. That's what happens. What else became a priority? Spending more time with my friends. And even now, like back then, as we were dating with Dina, spending a lot of time. Another thing that happened, life got in the way, planning a wedding. Weddings are not easy to plan. It takes time. Okay? But that got in the way of my time with God. Another one, planning a holiday. Planning holidays take a lot of time. You want to do the right thing. You don't go overseas to just go, yes, so what is your recommendation at the hotel today? No, I'm not taking hotel recommendations. I want to plan it myself. So that took out my time as well. And lastly, preparing for my son. Okay, I'm telling you this very recent. So, you know, like getting his nursery set up, doing all of the washing for his clothes, which is now done, everything. It's just got in the way. And then I was just thinking what God said to me Sunday, return to your first love. And I went, wow, so many things that I thought were important really weren't important. You can ask Dino this as well to verify this. I've not watched a soccer game for a very long time because Google has the results. 2-minute highlights, I mean, is much better than an hour and a half of my time wasted. 2 hours if you include the halftime show. I don't need to plan for another wedding because I found my true first love there on earth. And I was just thinking and mulling this over the fact, where have I gone wrong with my first love? And these were the points that God just really went bang, and it just hit me. So I just want to ask you this question. Is your first love for Jesus the same or even hotter than for him now than it was before? Because, you know, if you're not moving forward, you're most probably moving backwards. If you're not moving forwards, you are most probably moving backwards. And it's so very true. If you think about it, if you think that you are good here, but everything else is speeding up, as we know that, the days are approaching, the day of the Lord is at hand. But if you stay where you are right now, everything else is going faster, but you're just staying here, you're most probably going back in the situation that's being put in front of you. Is that correct? I really don't know. And I really ask God, I can't do it on my own. That's why we've been saying, commit everything back to the Holy Spirit, because he is the one that will convict us. He is the one that will change us. I don't have any points for you today. I only had questions. I had a background on Ephesus, but I don't believe that's what the Holy Spirit is asking each and every one of us to do, a background. But he's saying, return to your first love. As simple as that message is, just return to your first love. Because if you can remember your first love, think about it now. I actually want you to actively think about that first time, that first love you were with Jesus. Is it the same today? Do you have that same love for Jesus today as you did back then? So, I've actually been on maternity leave for 2 weeks now. The first week was done. I did a lot of chores. And up until about the fourth day, I got really, really bored. I got really bored just staying at home. And even though I was busy doing something, I wasn't really doing anything. And from last Sunday when God hit me with the return to your first love, I've now been getting into his word, praying, writing scripture. And what was very interesting was this week I started writing Ephesians. And he was talking about the church of Ephesus, which is basically the letter that Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus. And I was like, wow, God, really, 3 times you've told me return to your first love. 4 times you're talking about the church of Ephesus. So I think there is something there for me. And there was one verse that we have read it so many times, But I think it really doesn't hit us until it hits you, or until it really reveals itself to you. And it is Ephesians chapter, Ephesians 5:16. And it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And, you know, as I was just writing this, it dawned on me. Redeem the time means, what are we doing with our time? Are we best utilizing our time that God has given us? God has given us all the same time in a day. I don't get 24 hours. Pastor Joseph gets 28. So he can pray for that extra 4 hours. It's not. It's everyone gets 24 hours. What are you doing with that time? And as I was just writing that and just meditating on that, just redeeming the time because the days are evil. And then, very interesting, that yesterday we watched about Sid Roth and the vision, and that the days are evil, and that the day of the Lord is coming. And I was just like, wow, God, you really are so awesome. You really, I wouldn't say sense of humor, but you really do have a time and a place. And you, when you say you have a now word, you actually mean it. Not when sometimes I say something, it doesn't make any sense. But when God says something, it's repeated so many times that if you don't catch it the first time, you will at least catch it the sixth time. Or even more if it takes us longer to get it. And as I was just like meditating, and then we watched that Sid Roth, and I was just like, wow. God, you truly are saying something to us. You're saying something to me. To redeem the time, to return to my first love, because the days are evil. If the days are evil and that's speeding up, and I'm just staying still, or I'm happy, or I'm complacent with where I am, then really I'm not redeeming the time. I'm not utilizing my time properly. And I really need to just focus back to what your word says. Pastor Machen this morning was saying that God really is a merciful God. And he truly is merciful. I have seen his mercy so many times over my life. There's a song that says, he'll never let me go. And I praise God for his mercy and that he has never let me gone. Even though in my own mind, I would say I would have let gone a long time ago. A very long time ago. But God's mercy and his love and his grace is so great. His love for us is so great that he has never let us gone. Even through the worst of our worst, he has never let us gone. So I just want to conclude with this. That we need to purpose to make full use of our time. We need to spend our time wisely. And that gets back to Ephesians 5:16. And right now, it's to make a decision right now to get right with God. To come back to your first love for him. Because the most important word in that is now. Because the grace will be released now if you do it. You know, Hebrews 3:15 says that today, if you hear his voice. Does it say prolong it till next week to do something? It says, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. It means act on it now. If something is said to you now, you would act on it. If, let's say my mom asked me to do something, take out the rubbish. Now, mom, you know, the rubbish is on Tuesday, so it's okay. The house can smell for 2 more days. It smells like chicken. It's good. No, she wants it now. She wants you to take out the rubbish now. So just as this message is being spoken, God is saying act on it now. If you need to return to your first love, God is going to release that grace, that mercy for you to act on it now. So I'll conclude with this. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Each and every one of us should know it by now. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So if we make that conscious decision, if we make that decision to act on it now, that grace will be released now. God's love will be released now. and we can truly have communion with the Holy Spirit. And it's all about, at the end of the day, it's all about hearing God's voice. Hearing God's voice for the now. Not hearing God's voice for the tomorrow. That's for tomorrow. It's hearing God's voice now. And as we hear God's voice, we have to be still. We have to look for vision. Fix our eyes on Jesus to look for a vision. Tune into spontaneous thoughts. And we have to journal. So that's just a little teaser for you for life group. So I hope you really are. Your ears are twitching. Your ears are hot for life group. So that you come to life group really excited to hear what God is saying to you now. But right now, how many times have I said now? But right now, I just want to open up the altar. Is that okay, Pastor Joseph? I'm not going to pray for you because this is between you and God. And it's not my place to pray for you because this, it truly is your first love for Jesus. It's not my first love for Jesus for you. It's everyone has to take that responsibility for themselves. So I'm just going to open up the floor. If you really feel that, God, I need to return to my first love. I have turned aside. I've put other things as a priority. But I want you right now. I want to return to that first love, Lord. And thank you, God, that you are releasing that grace and that mercy right now. That even as I say, I'm so sorry. I repent of my wicked ways. I come back to you. So I just want to open up the floor right now. If that's you. And we'll see how Holy Spirit leads us. Can I get the pianist?